Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters Game Week Edition. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, sports editor at the Journal World and KUSports.com. Tom, it's September, and KU football is right around the corner. Hard to believe?
No, I've been wanting this to come for quite a while now. It seems like it's been dragging to get to this final game, and maybe it's because it's a week later, or maybe it's because it drags every year.
Yeah, well, let's just jump into the game. That's what we want to focus these Friday podcasts on every week. KU's opponent, South Dakota, you know, not a powerhouse by any means, but when you look at what some of the FCS opponents did last week, you have to have, at least they have to have your attention, I would think, and I know they have KU's attention. Do you think there's something there, or is some too much being made of that?
No, I think that the best thing that happened for KU is to sit back and watch these teams lose to the smaller schools. That definitely helps KU realized that they could lose. Yeah, you could say South Dakota's 1-10. Well, KU's 1-11. So what's the difference? The division. And yeah, KU should be a heavy favorite here and is. But they have a reminder there that the defending champion of that level just defeated K-State, the defending Big 12 champion. So fresh reminder can only help KU, and I would expect that they'll be razor sharp and really playing hard.
We'll get into a few names to watch in a minute for South Dakota's roster, but generally speaking, what do you expect to see from a team like South Dakota when they're going up against KU? You know, they obviously come in here with nothing to lose and everything to gain and can play loose and can play hard. Do you think that this team will be one of those teams that kind of comes in with that attitude, or do you think that maybe the nerves and the lights of the Big 12 and all that stuff might be a factor here?
No, I think that they'll be excited to play a team that was 1-11 and a Big 12 team.
Right.
They're looking at this as an opportunity. That's got to help their confidence that KU's coming off a couple of few bad seasons here. So they'll bring their best, but I just don't think their best will be good enough.
Yeah, let me jump into offense and defense, a couple of things to look for. Credit Coach Weiss for helping clue us in on some of this stuff. The first thing that jumped out at me about South Dakota, their offensive line. They're all big guys, four of them 6'5 or taller, all of them 295 or bigger. This is an offensive line that if things are going well with some experience that they have and that kind of size, that could control the pace of this game. Do you think that's a concern for Kansas?
I think it's a concern. I mean, those Dakota boys, whether it's south or north, they're growing big up there.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do. So you're picking from the, you know, among the best in your state, so you're going to have some big boys. And let's face it, both lines for KU are question marks. Number one, the offensive line has a bunch of new guys. Nobody on that line is going to look either to his left or right and see someone that he has played next to before.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
It's really crazy. And they talk about chemistry being important there. Well, the chemistry has to have a long way to go just by sheer tenure of playing together. So that's an issue. And then the defensive line, think about, you know, back when they got recruiting day and we're thinking about Keon Stowers and Marquel Combs on the inside and Chris Martin and Andrew Bolton on the outside. Chris Martin's out of the program. We all know the story there. Andrew Bolton's knee isn't 100% back, and he's having a redshirt year, which I think is a great move. Marquel Combs, this is a transition year for him, hasn't impressed yet, is not on the first team depth chart. So you just hope that Benny Goodman and Michael Reynolds really have step forward years, because that's two guys who are pretty talented rushing off the edge. And then Kiba Agostino and Kevin Young, it's a been there, done that type of thing, but they do get a little better every year. I'm sure there's some disappointment that fantasy defensive line is never going to be.
Yeah, I did a blog the other day that kind of pointed at that fact, and you know, I'm wondering, certainly Marquel Combs hasn't done enough in practice to be named a starter and hasn't beaten anybody out there. I'm wondering if maybe part of that is because the guy's just a gamer. You know, maybe he's one of those guys that never looks good in practice and doesn't have incredible energy in practice and go all out and all that stuff. But when the lights come on and the whistle blows and it's game time, maybe he's just a different guy and he just goes out there and makes plays. So, you know, nobody knows the answer to that yet.
Or maybe you can get away with that
at junior college.
At junior college, yeah. And you can't get away with it here, and he'll learn that. and he'll become a better practice player.
Harder worker, all that, yeah.
Which
yeah.
will make him a better game day player.
Definitely a good point. I'm interested to see which way that goes. A couple of names on offense for South Dakota to watch. Quarterback Josh Vandermotten. He's a junior, experienced, a little bit mobile, can fling it around a little bit. I would think for a team like South Dakota, that's got to be an advantage, coming in with at least a quarterback who feels comfortable and knows what's going on.
Yeah, anytime you have an experienced guy early in the season, that is an advantage. And but how good is he? They went 1-10 last year, so
right.
He's experienced. You know, the good news is he's back. The bad news is he's back.
Yeah, in the opener, their victory against UC Davis, he was 9-17 for 91 yards. They scored 10 points, so they got the win. I'm sure he felt pretty good about that, but not a blazing start for the quarterback.
The bad news is he's back after hearing those numbers.
At running back, they've got two running backs that are almost identical. Coach Weiss referred to them as clones. They're that identical. Both are redshirt freshmen. Both 5'11". One is 210 pounds. The other is 215 pounds. I think this is typically the kind of, you know, smaller school running back you see. Maybe a guy like, think Jake Sharp a little bit. Just a tougher guy, you know, a little bit undersized that'll just run as hard as he can into a wall anytime he can. And I think that's what both of these guys are in Trevor Bauma and Jordan Roberts. So, based on the size alone, I don't think that's a huge thing that KU should be worried about. On the opposite side of the ball, defense led by the secondary. Four starters in the secondary are all seniors. And Coach Weiss kind of said, hey, that could be a factor. I would think it could be, especially since Jake Heaps and these receivers don't have time to have that chemistry together yet either.
Although Jake Heaps is really, as you know and have written, has really worked hard at developing that chemistry, kind of putting the chemistry in a microwave, just with his one-on-one meetings with guys like Mundine and everyone else. I think that Jake Heaps, if he gets the protection and if he gets the receivers can get a little separation, he can pick apart that defense. Because I don't know. I don't know if you agree with this, but I'm getting the feeling that Jake Heaps is a really talented guy, always has been, but now his mind is kind of freed up. And I think that makes him a very dangerous player to go against. And I'm pretty bullish on Jake Heaps.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to have a really, really good year. I'm right there with you. Another name to look for on defense, linebacker Tyler Starr. He's a senior. He's aptly named because he is the star of their defense. One of those gritty guys. He's kind of their Ben Heaney. This is a guy that because of his experience and because of the way he plays, he'll keep his defense in there. It doesn't matter if they're down two touchdowns, three touchdowns, whatever. He'll keep them in there fighting, you know, as long as they have to and probably till the end. One last thing I want to get to before we move on today.
He's the star of their defense, much the way your wife, Star, is the star of your marriage.
Well, that works out. And, it's two R's for both of them, so that works out. I'm sure she'll be thrilled to have made this podcast. let's talk special teams. South Dakota comes in with the reigning Missouri Valley Conference Special Teams Performer of the Week in kicker Miles Bergner. He's a punter. He's a place kicker. He's their kickoff guy. He had a great week last week. Really had a huge role in them winning that game. KU's special teams, very much unproven right now. It seems to be upgraded. Do you think this is a wash category, or do you think KU has a clear advantage here too?
Well, I would say a wash. Until we see KU perform better on special teams, they're going to have to be considered a wash here. I'm intrigued by the kicker, Matthew Wyman, who only attempted one field goal in his four-game high school career in Michigan, and it was blocked, a 50-yarder. They had no line whatsoever. It's really interesting to see, because with kickers, they can come out of nowhere. We've seen it before. This guy could end up being a really good kicker, and I'm really excited to see if he is going to be the answer to Charlie Weiss's prayers.
Two final things before we call it a podcast here. I'm not going to pinpoint you down to a record or anything like, or a score or anything like that, but just generally speaking, what do you think the outcome is? You think KU has a fairly easy time in this one?
I do. I think that they will probably win by 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Okay, that's a huge spread. That would definitely go a long way toward confidence building for them, too. I'm right there with you. I think it's a very good opener for KU. I think they'll feel very good about how things start. Just the last thing, what kind of crowd are we going to see at Memorial Stadium? Do you think people are excited enough to show up? It's supposed to be a hot day, a nice evening. You think it'll be, you know, full enough to feel good, or do you think this is still one of those things where fans want to say, hey, show me, and then we'll show up?
I think that the walk-up crowd will be really good. That's just what my gut tells me, because people love to tailgate, and let's face it, there's a lot of curiosity over Jake Heaps among those who are smart enough not to hold Dane Chris failure totally against Jake Heaps.
Well, and there's really nothing better than Saturday college football. You know, there's a lot of excitement there, so... Believe it or not, that is not the new final horn for Spodcasters, but that is all the time we have for today. So thanks for joining us here, and everybody enjoy the game this weekend. We'll talk to you guys next week on another edition of the Spodcasters.